This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be along here shortly. We are breaking down Indiana's trip to the Big House against Michigan on Saturday. Kickoff is at 3:30. Game will be broadcast on ESPN. And so check your local listings for ESPN. Michigan comes in, after a loss last week at Iowa. But they did not fall in the college football playoff rankings because of all the craziness last week. They still come in at number 3 in the college football playoff rankings and 4th in the AP and coaches polls. TJ, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sammy. Yes, going to be a bit of a challenge this week, to say the least, but I'm not going to complain. We're nearing, unfortunately, the end of the regular season, so any IU game is still a game to look forward to.
Yeah, that's right. The season has flown by. IU is sitting at 5-5, 3-4 in the Big Ten, and we'll see where they go from here. But the big news coming out of Ann Arbor, which Jim Harbaugh has not confirmed, but in MGo blog. A report that said that Wilton Spate will be out for the remainder of at least the regular season with a broken collarbone.
Yep.
I was watching highlights from the Iowa game. He did finish the game, and it looks to be his non-throwing shoulder, if that's what the injury is, and he would be out, and John O'Korn would probably be the starter. But we don't know. Michigan does not release a depth chart, as we famously found out when Colorado named Elmer Fudd their starting quarterback. But we'll see what goes on there. I've been trying to watch as much Michigan film as possible with O'Korn in. I thought he was going to be the starter coming into the season. You know, he had a decent career at Houston before he lost the job because his completion percentage fell from 58 to 52. He threw a lot of interceptions during his sophomore season. So we'll see how that goes from there. But the report from MGo blog is that Wilton Spate is out, and Jim Harbaugh is calling him a game time decision. So we'll see where that goes. TJ, what are your initial thoughts for Saturday?
The Wilton Spate news is obviously going to add a layer of complexity to this game because we do not have any true recent data on John O'Korn. We don't have any visual evidence of the kind of player that he is now. I think it's safe to say that a couple of years under Jim Harbaugh in a practice setting is going to improve you as a player. So it's not going to be indicative of the type of performance he's capable of giving by just looking at what he did at Houston. So it's going to be very interesting to see, number one, how John O'Korn responds to his first start since 2014. And number two, to see just the type of offense that Michigan's going to tailor around him. It is going to change their game plan somewhat, and there is a reason he was the backup, but I don't envision this being a huge drop-off in quarterback play for them. I think that you'll continue to see them, maybe they attempt to run the ball a little bit more than they would have otherwise. I think the biggest adjustment might be more shorter throws, maybe you target Jake Butt more than maybe they had originally done, which I think they would have targeted him quite a bit this Saturday anyway. I think that they will take kind of the success that Mike Gesicki had for Penn State last week and use that as a positive indicator that can have some success against Indiana, which he has had in the past. So maybe you'll see some of that. Maybe you'll see some shorter routes for Darbo and Chesson as opposed to a lot of deep throws. Just early on to try to get O'Korn acclimated into the game. So I think that's kind of the initial thought that I have, is that it's not going to be a big drop-off, but maybe a little tweak in the game plan to try and get him acclimated early, which you wouldn't have to do with Wilton Spate, obviously, because he's already in the rhythm of the season, where John O'Korn is not. He's had very limited numbers. His numbers so far this year are good, but it's been in garbage time and very, very small sample size. It's an unknown for the IU coaching staff. I'm sure they're doing everything they can to find out what to expect from John O'Korn, but it's going to be, like I said, it's not fair or smart to go back and look at what he did at Houston and say, okay, well, yeah, this is what we can game plan for, because so much is obviously different between playing with Houston in 2014 and playing for Michigan now and the second to last game of the regular season in 2016. So that'll be the most important, the most intriguing thing when Michigan has the ball is how does John O'Korn mentally, how ready can he be for this game? And then physically, where's he at talent-wise? And what is their scheme going to look like offensively when they take on the Hoosiers? I mean, they have, by most offensive measures, the second best offense in the Big Ten. But I guess maybe they've fallen to third now after that Iowa game. But one of the top three offenses
in the
conference. Okay, second, yeah. So behind
Ohio
State.
Yeah, they're second, and I think they're still sixth in the country as well
I don't view them. No, it's not a joke at all. It's a very good offense. But I don't view it as – I don't personally view them as having the sixth best offense in the country. I can think of at least 10 right now that I would have much more fear going up against than Michigan's offense. I think that they do a very nice job. I think they have a good offense. I don't view it as a great offense or one of the 10 best in the country. Tell me otherwise, but I think that those numbers are inflated by a number of just, you know, beatdowns that they've given to opponents like Rutgers, like Maryland, really the majority of the teams that they've played. They've been able to overwhelm them, but I think when you look at them go against competent defenses, the numbers have not been as overwhelming, and I think you see them fall back to kind of a more reasonable output for a good offense as opposed to just a dominant one. That's my feeling anyway.
Yeah,
I think that their defense is the strength of that team, and I don't think it's even close between the two units. Although statistically it would indicate that they are top 10 in both, I think their defense is legitimately one of the two or three best in the country, while the offense, I don't view it as being one of the best 10 in the country.
Yeah, against your point against better defenses, against Wisconsin they scored 14 points. They missed a ton of field goals that game, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. Michigan State, they put up 32, and two of those came on a disaster of a two-point conversion play by Michigan State, and then they put up 13 against Iowa. So against quality opponents, I mean, they dropped 45 on Colorado, but Colorado's not a great defensive team. They are a top 10 team, but they're not a great defensive team, and so we'll see. To me, the offense, it's a running back by committee. It's led by Devion Smith. It was 592 yards and 8 scores. Chris Evans is their kind of change of pace back. He's very fast, could get into open space, has had a lot of long runs this year. And then, of course, you have to be wary of where they're going to use Jabril Peppers, either as a wildcat quarterback, receiver, running back. because he could score from anywhere on the field, and he's just amazing to watch. And I know some people say he's overrated. You know, he doesn't have an interception. But, you know, the kid can play. He's fast. He's big. He's smart. And IU's going to, you know, we'll see if O'Korn struggles, you might see, you know, Jabril Peppers try and spark that offense as the Wildcat quarterback. And then don't be surprised if you see Shane Morris in there as well. He's been splitting garbage time with John O'Korn, you know, lefty quarterback. So they'll want to, you know, keep a short leash on O'Korn, maybe get both of those guys ready. They are playing Ohio State next week. This is not a, you know, they're still in the playoff hunt, and the playoff hunt is very, very, it's messy still. And if Michigan could go and put up 60, you know, 50, 60 points on somebody, they will. So I could see them breaking out a few, you know, trick plays, put it on tape for Ohio State next week. But you're right, TJ, this defense is outstanding. You know, and one of the guys who gets buried is Jordan Lewis, the All-American corner. You know, we talk about their defensive line and Taco Charlton and those guys, and Jabril Peppers and Ben Gideon. But Jordan Lewis might be their best defensive player outside of Jabril Peppers in coverage, and will make it a hard day for Indiana's receivers. So this defense is very, very good. The most points they've given up in a game, I believe, is 28 to Colorado.
Yes.
You know, they're giving up just 11 points per game, 244 yards total offense, 113 on the ground. So IU's offense is going to have to get creative. It's going to have to pull something out, you know, out of a hat a little bit, and then you have to factor in the weather. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. The forecast is for 18-mile-an-hour winds with gusts up to 30 and a little bit of rain and snow in there. So it's going to be – these are conditions that Richard Lego has not played in. I don't think he's played in the snow, maybe when he was, you know, committed to UConn in practice. But that was such a long time ago that he's been playing most of his ball in the south, southwest in Texas, and climates like that. So we'll see how the IU offense deals with the weather, deals with a stout defense like this, and can get some positive momentum going into the final week of the season. It's going to be tough sledding. It's just, you know, it's a game that could turn ugly, but it might not. You know, Indiana's defense can stop this offense. The running game is running back by committee. It's not terribly scary, but you gotta make it uncomfortable for whoever's playing quarterback. And if they played the run game like they did against Saquon Barkley, they'll have a shot.
Yeah, the run game defense was tremendous against Penn State. We talked about that in the post game, and it continues to be really impressive when you look back at the numbers. Yeah, you mentioned a couple of their tailbacks, and it really is going to be a long list of guys to get carries on Saturday. Michigan rotates that backfield like crazy. It's going to be, you know, the guys you've mentioned, Devion Smith, Chris Evans. Evans is averaging 7.8 yards a carry. Devion Smith gets the most carries, and he's at almost 5, he's at 4.9. Karan Higdon, Ty Isaac, Jabril Peppers will get some carries. Surprisingly, they're the guy that has the team high yards per carry is a player by the name of Eddie McDoom, which that's a tremendous name.
Awesome.
Eddie McDoom,
all time greatest, like one of the greatest football. I've been watching the games, and they said if you made a movie and like the bad team had a guy who is named McDoom, you would be like, that's corny.
Yeah.
Like, that's an awesome football name.
Yeah, he's averaging 10.3 yards a carry. It's only like on 20, 21 carries, but, you know, he might get a few as well. So it's going to be important to not get worn down by those fresh legs, because that's kind of, I mean, they're all fairly similar. Chris Evans is the fastest of the bunch, at least on, I don't know what their 40 times are, but on film, on TV, it looks like he's the fastest of the bunch. Devion Smith is kind of the bruiser. Ty Isaac appears to be sort of an all-around back. Caron Higdon, a little bit bigger. And then Eddie McDoom is very limited film on him. But then Jabril Peppers is the best athlete of the group and really just a game changer for them in multiple facets, which we'll talk about the kind of the special teams impact you could have later. But, you know, the scariest part of this offense for me is the memories that we still have of what Michigan's big receivers did to IU's secondary last year and how the Hoosiers have played this year, improvement on defense. I mean, that speaks very positively to what they can do differently this time around. I'm sure that they remember the performance that Darbo and Chesson and Jake Butt had against them last year, multiple times that IU was close to breaking through and getting that win. But every time they had a chance, these Michigan receivers made a play over Indiana's undersized secondary last year. And that, I do not expect that to happen again. I think the secondary took it personally all offseason to improve. The defense took it personally, and they have. They're the most improved unit in the country. I think it'll just be another good – I'm not going to say that, oh, we'll see how far they've come. No, that's crap. We know how far they've come. They've come an incredibly long way. One game is not going to change that. But I think it'll be another data point that'll say, look, this is what these guys were able to do to us last year. They are supposedly even better this year. Let's show them how much better we are as a secondary and how much we've improved. And then we're not just going to get pushed around because of, you know, how much size and skill Darbo and Chesson and Jake Butt have. They are three tremendous players and very scary for a secondary to go up against them. You know, they are going to be working with a new quarterback, so the timing there is going to be a little bit different for them. You know, you have to assume that Wilton Spate was getting the large chunk of first-team reps for the entire season. So it's going to be a little bit different timing there. It's going to be a little bit different cadence, and that'll throw you off maybe just a tad bit. Plus, I just think Indiana's secondary and their scheme and the confidence they're playing with, they're in so much of a different spot than they were last year against Michigan. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch is how that trio of pass catchers does against Indiana secondary this time around. I'm looking forward to seeing that battle kind of within matchup within the game. Michigan's going to score. It's going to happen. They're going to put up some points. They've been flat out dominant at home. It's 322-73 on the year at home in seven home games. The average margin of victory, 35.57 points per game. So, you know, they're winning their home games by an average of 35 points a game. Colorado challenged them, but, it, you know, that they were never a true threat to win that game. And then Wisconsin.
They were until their starting quarterback hurt.
No, yeah, that's fair. But that was in the third quarter, and Michigan had a double-digit lead for the entire fourth quarter. So I was watching that game. I never felt like Colorado was going to win it. And then Wisconsin gave them their best game, and Michigan really played very sloppy and gave Wisconsin a chance due to multiple special teams miscues. But Wisconsin never looked like they were going to be able to score more than the 7 points that they did. So those were their two closest home games, and they've kind of waxed everyone else at home. Now, on the road, it's not near as pretty of a picture, but this game is played in Ann Arbor. IU has not won there since 1967, so it's been a very tough place for pretty much everybody to play, Indiana particularly included. So I'm anxious to see how Indiana responds to that gigantic atmosphere. We know that Indiana's not scared to play another great team. It's the fourth top 10 team they've played, which is the most in program history. IU's used to playing this type of opponent and this quality of opponent They're not going to be scared by that. They're not going to be scared by the atmosphere and not winning there since
1967. No, it comes with playing in the Big Ten. It's
this group of recruits.
Yeah, they've played at the Big House three of the last four seasons. They don't, you know, it's just another game. And to be honest, the Big House, it's not as loud as Ohio State and Penn State just because they're so spread out. So, in honesty, it's probably the least intimidating crowd of those three based on crowd noise. Now, you know, they'll be fired up and they'll continue that streak of having over 100,000 people there, but it's not like you're going into Beaver Stadium at night or the Shoe at night or even, you know, traveling to a place as loud as Oregon and stuff like that. But one more guy I do want to point out is the touchdown vulture for Michigan, Khalid Hill. He has 22 carries on the year for 36 yards and 9 touchdowns. So, you know, if there were fantasy football for college, he'd be the guy that, you know, you'd be cursing if your opponent had while you had the other Michigan running back. So he's the guy who's I think they list him at 270 pounds. He's the fullback. He wears number 80. He'll come in goal line situations and just get 2 or 3 yards in there. So that's a guy that IU fans need to keep their eyes on as well. But let's get to some special teams, since this has been a factor for IU all year. It came down to it the last couple games where, you know, mishaps put the game either in doubt or gave IU fits. So, first of all, Jabril Peppers is the best punt returner in the nation. Watching games, I'm up through the Rutgers games. He's had 5 or 6 punt returns that should have been touchdowns that were, you know, he either got tripped up inside the 10-yard line by the turf monster, or the punter, you know, put his arm out and tripped him up, or there was a block in the back somewhere 15 yards behind the play that had no bearing on it. So he's averaging 17.2 yards a punt return on 16 returns. Why anybody would punt to this kid is beyond me. He's as dynamic as Reggie Bush was, where he can make one guy miss and he's gone. And his stride length is so long and he's so fast. If IU punts in, they're in trouble. You saw a little bit of that last week with Penn State's returner, where he made some guys miss, but IU rallied. But if you miss Jabril Peppers, he's going to be standing in that end zone with 6 points. So, you know, he returns kicks as well, and he's averaging 24.8 yards per kick return as well. So that is going to be huge, getting good punts off. If you have to sacrifice 5 or 6 yards of distance to punt it out of bounds, do that. And then, of course, all the questions with Griffin Oaks: does he still have the leg to boot it out of the end zone? Is that quad injury still lingering? You know, Wilson hasn't given a clear answer on that. You know, he said 1 week he's healthy again. The other week he's been dealing with a slight quad pull. So getting touchbacks and not letting Peppers or Jordan Lewis, who's their other kick returner, get their hands on the ball is going to be huge. And then, of course, field goal execution. This is a team giving up 11 points per game. So you're going to have to take the points where you could get them. And that means, you know, if you have to kick between 40 and 50 yard field goals, maybe 50 yards is going to be out of the question with the wind and a potential wet weather, but you gotta get them somewhere. So, you know, with the switch at holder with Mitchell Page, it looks like Griffin Oaks is more comfortable. He connected on all his extra points and then the 47-yard field goal. So he looks to be back on track. And then Michigan's kicker kind of went through the same thing that Griffin Oaks has gone through as well. Kenny Allen. He's also their punter. He's 12 of 16 on the year, but he went through a streak where he missed two against Colorado. He missed two against Wisconsin before being replaced by the backup kicker Tice, who missed it. But he's now hit eight in a row. His long is 51. So seeing how the field goal kickers perform is going to be huge. Either way, you know, if Michigan misses a field goal, IU could capitalize on that, and vice versa. So that's going to be a big momentum swing for either team if they can't execute on the field goal unit.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and that falls in line with turnovers as well, which have been such a huge problem here the past couple. You know, Michigan is good enough, and it's going to be a tough enough task to stay in this game without giving them help by missing field goals, by having, you know, poor kickoffs or poor punts. And rest assured, IU fans, you know, if we know these things, the coaching staff knows these things. They know how dangerous Jabril Peppers is, and I would bet a lot of money that, you know, they are – letting the players know, Joseph Gideon, Griffin Oaks, the coverage units, look, we cannot let this guy beat us on special teams. Don't give him the chance. So it's up to the players to execute that, which is going to require good directional punting. It is going to require smart coverage, disciplined coverage, and it is going to require, hopefully, a strong leg from Griffin Oaks to put it out of the back of the end zone. You know, hopefully a lot of times, you know, I hope that there are a lot of kickoffs, but you know, we'll see. But when those kickoffs do come, it's going to require getting that ball into the end zone for a touchback, and then not missing the field goals to give up points, not turning the ball over. Michigan is not excellent at creating turnovers. They've created 16 this year, so that's not outstanding. It's pretty good, but they will certainly – if you give them an opportunity by putting the ball on the turf or by, you know, giving this secondary a chance to make a play on the ball, I mean, they've got pretty good secondary, to say the least. You know, they've got, like you said, Jordan Lewis, Channing Stribling's had a nice year. He was kind of a question mark coming into it. He's had a nice year. Delano Hill is good. Jabril Peppers, obviously, whenever he does line up back there in the secondary, he's good. When he lines up the linebacker, he's excellent at creating negative plays.
Yeah, any time when you have a defensive player up for the Heisman Trophy, he's a special player. You'll see number five play multiple positions on defense, and that's you know, that's the special thing about this Michigan defense. They brought in Don Brown from BC. He's nicknamed Dr. Blitz. So you're going to see a lot of pressure, especially from Jabril Peppers.
And you can use that against them. They're a very aggressive defense, which is fun to watch if you're not the offense going up. But if you're a Michigan fan, it's really fun to watch. They're very aggressive. They fly to the ball, pursue well. They tackle well. But that aggressiveness can be used against them. They have given up some big plays. So there will be some big plays there to be had. The question is whether or not the Indiana offense, which has been a little bit off, but has, I think, Richard Vigeau has played his best two games of his IU career here in the past two. Yes, I know there have been, you know, interceptions.
No,
there
I would even say
well.
The last three.
Two.
He was good against
That's
Maryland,
true.
Too.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Very efficient against Maryland and then against against Rutgers. I know he had the two picks and back-to-back throws, but other than those two plays, had a very nice day. And I thought, you know, you just cannot blame him for the Penn State game. He missed a throw or two, no doubt about that. But overall, he had a very nice day against Penn State, and the turnovers were not on him. Maybe that fumble with the exchange with Williams is on him. I don't know. I watched it a few times, and I'm not sure if it was on him or Williams. We'll call a half turnover for each. So say he gets a half a fumble, obviously.
And then the sack fumble at the end, which is just a tough play. So, I mean, he's throwing the ball better, which is what they need. It'll be a tough task to keep pressure off of him. And Michigan does give up big plays. I was watching the Wisconsin game last night. There were a couple plays where Wisconsin had guys wide open downfield, and Horningbrook, who's a true freshman, missed them. And those are the plays that IU's going to have to hit. Their receivers, you know, now that Kenyon Patrick's coming on and being used in the deep game, the receivers are going to have to make those competitive plays. And then you could use Mitchell Page to go underneath, and, you know, especially if you hit some of those deeper passes, if he's underneath, maybe with a tight end down there, you could start picking apart Michigan's defense. And then, you know, they might be able to run the ball well with they've been blocking better. They ran against a tough Penn State front as well. So I don't think Devine Redding is going to go for like 300 yards, but he could be, you know, give you a very hard earned, you know, 85 to 100 yards, which will keep the defense honest. He's 99 yards away from 1,000, so it'd be nice for him to pick it up before the Purdue game. But, you know, they could use that to set up the pass and then just make plays downfield. You can't, if you're open, Lego has to make a good throw, and then receivers got to have to catch the ball and not miss time jumps, not drop the ball, and not let, you know, win those 50-50 plays that we saw Penn State's receivers win it, you know, late in the second half against IU. So it'll be tough sledding, but there are plays. This isn't, you know, a brick wall you're playing against. They've been beat. They've given up some points. It's a human defense. So, and Kevin Wilson is a pretty good offensive mind who could, they put up points against this team last year. And I know it's a different offensive line, but they dominated them on the ground. So we'll see what they do there.
Yeah, this Michigan defense is better than what they had last year. But yeah, that success that you had, you can use that and have some confidence. And you know, you can say that they've performed well against these top-ranked teams, and unable to beat them, and that's a frustrating point. But I think it's fair to say that they have not embarrassed themselves when they've taken on good competition. I think we'll be able to say the same thing on Saturday, which doesn't count for anything truly, but I think it's a good – I mean, I would much rather play a competitive game than go out there and, you know, get your head handed to you. And I know that
– I mean, most importantly, it's going to be like the Ohio State game, and we've texted with each other, is – play well, fix the things that you need to be fixed before going to Purdue. You know, fix the turnover issues. You know, clean up the punt game, clean up special teams, get Lego into a rhythm, and then just get out of there healthy. You know, if you win, it'd be a historic win. But most likely they were, before the Spade injury, they were 28.5-point underdogs. If you could play well, even if you lose – just get out of there healthy, go into Purdue with some momentum, and then go get that sixth win Thanksgiving weekend and think about where your bowl destination is going to be. Other than that, you know, if they continue, I would feel worse if they, you know, get blown out, have five or six turnovers, and you know, Lego gets his ankle turned, or, you know, somebody important gets hurt or something like that. So to me, just get out of there healthy, get out of there playing good football like you did against Ohio State. That'll give you some confidence that you could finish the season strong against Purdue. Now, I'm not saying go in there and you know, just, hey, we're just going to hand the ball off five or six times, you know, or whatever, you know, play three yards in a cloud of dust and just get out of there. Do some things and play well that way. So, but I bet that the game plan is going to be much like the games against Michigan State and Ohio State, where they're going to play to get to the fourth quarter. It's going to probably be a little bit more conservative, especially with the weather. Is that what you think that the game plan is going to be?
Yeah, Yes, I do, and I don't disagree with it at all, because I think that if you attempt to be overly aggressive, number one, you've been mistake prone, and being overly aggressive certainly won't help that. And number two, I think that you would play right into Michigan's hands by allowing their pressure defense to really get going. If they can get you behind sequence to where you are in obvious passing situations, third and long, you're in big-time trouble against this defense, because they have a very good secondary that's capable of covering guys man-to-man, one-on-one, so they don't have any qualms about sending pressure when they know you're going to be passing. So I think that that's going to be what Indiana's coaches attempt to do, is to play this one. They'll take their shots, but I think it's going to be attempting to control the game with a good run game, not make rash decisions, and be aggressive in kind of 50-50 calls on field goals or punts or go for it on fourth. I think they're going to be conservative in those situations, and like you said, try to get it to the fourth quarter, giving yourself a shot. And I know some people will criticize that if it doesn't go that way, and say that Indiana played not to lose as opposed to play to win. And I don't really see the difference between the two. I that's an argument that I just don't understand from people. But I do think you're going to see kind of the same type of gameplay mentality you saw earlier in the season against Ohio State, Nebraska. And I think that it will succeed in getting Indiana closer than what people think the game is going to be, but I don't think it'll necessarily be because of the game plan. I think it'll be because Indiana is a solid football team, definitely flaws, but a solid football team with a pretty good talent level. And a defense that is, I think it's a lot more realized. I think there's still the perception that, people are waiting for the other shoe to drop on this Indiana defense and to kind of, return back to the pumpkin that they were previously. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I think Indiana's defense will keep the Michigan offense in check. I don't think they'll score 13 like Iowa had them doing, but I think something around 31, 34 points, something like that is what I would expect. And then I think Indiana's going to get somewhere around 14 to 17, maybe up to 21, and keep it within a couple of possession game until late, and have Michigan fans a tad bit worried about whether or not they'll pull it out. I don't think there'll only be any, probably no point in the game where, we're really feeling confident about things. It'll be a pretty competitive game on Saturday, and I think we will come out of it, assuming everybody can stay healthy, feeling good about things going to the bucket game, which if IU needs that sixth win, if we don't pull off the shocker on Saturday, yes, that'll be a nerve-wracking game regardless of how we feel going into it, but we'll worry about that next week.
Yeah, we'll worry about Purdue next week. We'll have the bucket game covered going into Thanksgiving. But let's get into some predictions here, TJ. The weather is, I like snow. This is the worst possible weather. It's going to be in the high 30s, low 40s, and raining. It's the wind is going to be whipping, so that's going to be a factor in terms of where they're going to kick. Makes the coin toss that much more important, and we'll see how it plays out. But what's your official prediction for the game?
I will go Michigan 34, Indiana 17.
Okay, I'm right along on those lines. I would say Michigan 35, Indiana 17. Michigan's just, they're right in the thick of things in the playoff race. They're
yep.
playing good football all season. They had their hiccup against Iowa. They're going to be an angry team for losing that game on a last-second field goal.
I don't think there's much drop off between O'Korn and Spate in terms of what plays they're going to call or ability to run that offense. Maybe there's some throws, deep balls that O'Korn just doesn't have the reps to do. Spate was very good at that, at throwing the deep ball. So maybe there's a little bit of a drop off, but I don't think it'll be that much of a drop off where Indiana can really get the upset because of that. The weather's going to play a factor. We'll see how Lego throws in that. It's going to affect the kicking game. And it's probably as a kicker who's going through some mental issues, you know, kicking into 18 to 30 mile an hour winds with some rain, is probably not the ideal conditions that you want. You know, who knows what Cliffy drops off of if Oaks does miss the first one or two. So we'll see. I think, you know, 35-17, the weather will slow them down on offense as well for Michigan, but there's just too much talent on Michigan for Indiana to overcome.
Yeah, I think that those are reasonable predictions. Obviously, I'm not saying there's no chance, but it's a massive mountain to climb. Yeah. Talked about stay healthy, improve that play, and get out of there and go to Purdue.
Yep. Well, Purdue comes to us, so we don't have to go to West Lafayette, thank goodness. But I did Price is Right you on the score. So if it is 37-17,
chalk that
another one up for me. But anyway, that does it for our pregame show. Hopefully we'll be back with a historic victory on Sunday. And I'm not I'm not super frozen from the radio booth with the open windows. But anyway, thanks for joining us. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com. Often we'll have our matchup to watch later today, maybe early tomorrow. Alex is dealing with finals, so good luck to him and the rest of IU students who are starting to gear up for their final exams of the semester. Do remember that the holiday season is coming up. If you're doing your shopping on Amazon.com, please use our link. We do get a referral bonus at no charge to the buyer. The link right now is Tom Brew's On the Rebound book with Todd Judlow. So click on that. It opens a 24-hour window to Amazon where we get the referral bonus. If you're on a laptop, it's going to be on the right side of your screen. Make sure your pop-up blockers are off. If you're looking on your phone, it'll be after all the content at the bottom. So I want to thank you in advance for using the Amazon ad. It helps us a lot. It helps us with travel costs, potentially getting to a bowl game as well. And, you know, you get good gifts for your friends. As well, follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And we'll be back on Sunday or Monday with the post-game wrap-up. And then it's bucket week. I can't believe how fast this season has gone, TJ. But anyway, that does it for today's show. And we thank you for listening.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match.
Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.